देवती माता। हरे कृष्णा, वेलकम टू भक्ति संगा कॉन्फ्रेंस कॉल। टुडे वी आर वेरी फॉर्चुनेट टू हैव हिज होलीनेस चंद्रमौली स्वामी महाराज ऑन द कॉल टू एनलाइटन अस ऑन द टॉपिक ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम सिक्स्थ कैंटो 15th चैप्टर 5th श्लोक। बिफोर हैंडिंग ओवर द कॉल टू महाराज, आई वुड लाइक टू आस्क राज प्रभु जी टू गिव ब्रीफ इंट्रोडक्शन अबाउट महाराज। राज प्रभु, प्लीज टेक ओवर द कॉल।
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dino Pranam to you and all the assembled devotees, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Shri Guru and Gauranga. Here's a brief introduction for a very respected and dear His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj. Maharaj is a disciple of ISKCON founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, and an initiating spiritual master within the ISKCON movement. Maharaj came in contact with the ISKCON in Denver, Colorado at the age of 24. In 1973, Maharaj began practicing Krishna consciousness in New York City and shortly thereafter began serving in the New Vrindavan Farm community in West Virginia. That same year, he received initiation from His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In 1986, His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj accepted Sannyas order and began preaching in Cincinnati and Columbus, Ohio. In 1995, Maharaj began serving as a resident sannyasi in Chicago, where he was based until 2013, when he relocated in Karlovac, Croatia. At present, His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj offers spiritual guidance around Europe, USA, and India. And we are very fortunate to have him on the call. Over to you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you for the introduction. Hare Krishna. I don't think Maharaj has joined the call. Hare Krishna Maharaj, the Dandavat Pranams. Please accept our respectful obeisances at your lotus feet. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Gurudev. Thank you very much, Maharaj, for giving your very valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 15th chapter, 5th sloka, Maharaj. Thank you very much. Please take over the call, Maharaj.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Mayam Chitvam Chaye Chaimehe Tuyaka Chara Charaha Jamma Mityu Yata Paschat Anaivam Anunapi Boho. Oh King, both you and we, your advisors, wives and ministers, as well as everything moving and not moving throughout the entire cosmos at this time, are in a temporary situation. Before our birth, this situation did not exist, and after our death, it will exist no longer. Therefore, our situation now is temporary, although it is not false. Purport. The Mayavadi philosophers say Brahma Satyam Jagat Nityam. Brahma, the living being, is factual, but his present bodily situation is false. According to the Vaishnava philosophy, however, the present situation is not false, but temporary. It's like a dream. The dream does not exist before one falls asleep, nor does it continue after one awakens. The period of dreaming only exists only between these two, and therefore is false in the sense that it's impermanent. Similarly, the entire material creation, including our own creation and those of others, is impermanent. We do not lament for the situation in a dream before the dream takes place or after it is over, and so during the dream or during the dreamlike situation, one should not accept it as factual and lament about it. This is real knowledge. Chaksun militam yena tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya manobhistam stapitam yena bhutai. Vayam rupa kadam mayam dadati svam padantikam. Nama om Vishnu badaya Krishna prasthaya buddhari. Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pacharini Seta Sunyavadi Pastyatya Satani Vansha Kalpataru Vishya Kripa Sindhu Peva Japatitanam Pavane Vyo Vaishnava Vyo Namaha Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare. So in this verse and purport, it's describing our situation within this realm of material existence. It is temporary. Before we took birth, it didn't exist for us. And after we leave this body, it will continue not to exist. And during the time we are here, it appears to be factual and real. Of course, there's a class of philosophers, as mentioned here, the Mayavadis, say it's false. There is an element of truth in that statement. It's false in the sense that it doesn't stand the test of time. But actually, it is factual in the sense that it is Krishna's energy. And Krishna says, Daivyesha gunamayi momomaya dharatyayam yam eva ye papadyante maya etam sarantite. That this material energy of mine is very difficult to overcome. But one who takes shelter of me can very easily cross beyond this material energy. So this material energy is one of Krishna's energies. He has three principal energies, and there are many, what we say, lesser energies, which support the principal energies. The spiritual energy, which is called Antaranga Shakti, the material energy, which is called Bahiranga Shakti, and the living entity, us, in the material energy, called the marginal energy, or Tatastha Shakti. These are the three energies of the Lord, and they're factual. They're real in the sense that they work in a certain way. But two of them is eternal, and one is temporary. We are eternal. Jivaya Sarupai Krishna and Nitya Das, we have an eternal relationship with the Lord. And we exist eternally. Nahanyate Hanyamani Sarire. For the soul, there is neither birth nor death, nor having once been does he ever cease to be. An unborn, eternal, immutable primeval, and he's not slain when the body is slain. So our existence, no matter where we find ourselves to be, whether in the material tabernacle or in the spiritual realm, we exist eternally. But in this temporary situation of the material energy, and the analogy here is very appropriate, in the dream state, because a dream state apparently is a state of false existence. But when we're in it, we actually experience a certain type of reality in that dream state. We also may have physical reactions on the gross level, even in the dream state. But it is actually what it is. It is a dream state. And therefore, we realize it before we go into the dream and after we leave it. It's simply what it is. It's a dream. But this material existence in our so-called waking state is another type of dream, because it's not factual in the sense that it doesn't stand the test of time. It comes and it also goes. And the identity that we achieve in this material existence is also similar to the identity we take on in the dream. we identify ourselves according to the body we have and the relationships that we connect to in this material body, according to gender, family relationships, nationality, and activities that we perform. And we adopt a certain set of identities based on these activities. But it's because the whole situation is just temporary, identities ultimately are also in the same sense temporary. So taking it from the position of eternality, our relationship in this material world is like a dream state. We just come here and we act in a way that is contrary to our actual existence. And we take on many activities like that. And we think they're real. But what is this? This dream state has a certain message to it and a certain benefit from it. Because we continue to exist in this state. What is that? Maya Dalase, Kancho Base, Kancho Hobu Dubai. Life after life, Karanam, Gunasango Sho, Sarasa Joni Janmasu, that we traverse the three levels of existence, 14 planetary systems, the three levels of material existence, higher planets, middle planets, and lower planets. And life after life, according to our activities based on our desires, we find ourselves in a particular material situation. But it's given to us not haphazardly, but based on our desires and our activities. If we have a certain desire and a certain activity, we get a particular body. There's one very clear case of this in our Krishna conscious movement. There's one devotee. She is a devotee in the activities of Krishna consciousness. But in her previous life, she was a brahmachari also in the ISKCON movement. And as a brahmachari, this person traveled around and got attached to an Indian girl, not in a physical way, but in a very direct, was always thinking about her, thinking about how he would like to marry her. And one day there was a car accident and this brahmachari died in the car accident. And now that same person came back in the form of this Indian girl. And it's interesting because this girl remembers all of her past experiences of being a brahmachari and also the experiences of coming into this world. Krishna gave her that intelligence to him to help us with her remember. And because of that, in her present situation, she's very fixed in her Krishna consciousness. She would constantly engage in Harinam Sankirtan. That's her main service. She was a woman, along with associating with devotees to do the same thing. So she writes about it, about her experiences in her previous life, and also how she turned to Krishna consciousness by Krishna's arrangement in this particular life. So this is all, these things are factual, they're not some ideas, but according to our desires and activities in the previous life, and the consciousness that we develop at the time of leaving the body, the Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, yam yam bhakti smaran bhavan tatra antya kalajan tam tam vivaita kote yasvilata ram bhavitaha. You know, whatever you think of at the time of death, to that situation you will attain to. And of course, our consciousness at the time of death is generally a collection of our consciousness throughout the entire life, and it manifests in that way at the time we leave the body. But if we think of Krishna in devotion at the time of death and become absorbed in that, then we can free ourselves from this dreamlike existence of taking births, growing old, dying, getting diseased, taking births, getting old, dying. It's a constant cycle that keeps going until the soul no longer has any connection with or any attachment for this temporary material energy. It's like sometimes when we go to sleep at night, we dream. And in that dream state, we find the dream is very unpleasant. And there is a desire to get out of the dream state even while we're in the dream state. And sometimes we all of a sudden wake up, come back to our waking consciousness. So that desire has to be there. Otherwise, we continue in this dreamlike existence of taking birth and dying in various species of life. And generally, it continues to go life after life after life because the soul has not been convinced that this material world is what it is. It's simply a dream, and that's all. It's almost like we might use an analogy that if you, the happiness in the material world can be compared to trying to eat the object that is reflected in the mirror. If you were to put a bowl of fruit in front of a mirror and you want to eat the object, eat the fruit in the mirror, you can't, although you can see it. It appears to be real. But there is a reality that is beyond this material energy, and that is our eternal home in the spiritual world. That's why the scriptures say, practice devotional service and then go back home, back to Godhead, a place for whence we had come, and now we are in this unnatural situation. So in being the unnatural situation, we have to somehow or other, it's like you take birth in order so you don't have to take birth again. It's almost like when you walk, you've been to Vrindavan or in many places around there, and many of the holy paths, they have some thorns there, and devotees walk barefoot. Sometimes a thorn gets stuck in a person's foot and they can't get it out. So they take another thorn, and using that thorn, they pluck out that thorn and throw both thorns away. So this material world is meant for us to learn a lesson that we don't need to be here, to try to falsely enjoy in this dreamlike state, and go back home, back to Godhead. And then that is the process of devotional service. And as Srila Prabhupada mentions, that one should not accept it as factual and lament about it. In other words, and there are good dreams and there are unpleasant dreams. There are happiness is some kind of form of happiness in this material world. And then there's generally mostly misery. And so we constantly are going back and forth, trying to struggle in order to attain some happiness. Finding it is not sufficient, and we keep up the struggle. And unless we actually seriously take shelter of the Lord in devotional sense, then we constantly cycle in this person, in the cycle of birth and death, life after life after life. It's a punishment for not desiring our prime desire. Our prime desire is according to our nature. Just like you see in this material world, everyone is serving someone. People serve their family members, they serve their friends, they serve the social, political, and economic arrangements that are made in this material world. Sometimes they serve an animal, a dog or a cat. The service propensity is indigenous, or you might say innate, within the living being's existence. It cannot be stopped. It cannot be curtailed in any way. And it goes on because that's our nature, is to serve. So the logical and the intelligent thing is, if I have to serve, why don't I serve in such a way that that service will bring me back to my actual position of service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that service extricates us or removes us from this cycle of birth and death. There's a beautiful picture that's been painted. You see, in an ocean, a person is drowning, and then you see Krishna coming on this, on Garuda, and he's reaching down, pick up his friend out of this this ocean. So this world is like an ocean. It's very difficult to cross beyond this ocean. But with the help of the Supreme Lord that comes by the mercy that he gives us in devotional service, we can easily extricate ourselves out of this world and make this particular life we're in the last life in this world. And that is actually the goal of human life, the Tato Brahma Jigyasa. We grow up in this world, we learn all the wrong things. That happiness comes by position, by power, by them having a nice family, by being intelligent and getting a good situation in this material world. We're constantly bombarded with lies about actually our existence. Our real existence is our true nature. And so a devotee will think, why waste time doing things in this world when I could be using that same time to get out? Because time is short. People in the Satya Yuga, they could live up to 100,000 years because the atmosphere was pure and the living beings were fixed in devotion to the Lord. In every yuga, there is a decrease in the duration of life. And in Kali Yuga, the present age we are in, the duration of life is down to the bare minimum. It's 100 years at most. But how many people actually live to 100 years old? I think the average lifespan, you know, of course, it depends on the country you're from, is about 75, 80, 85 years old. That's average. And in some countries, it's even lower than that. Of course, in some countries, it's more too. But in general, life is very short. And so that whatever that time is, it becomes the opportunity to extract ourselves out of this cycle of birth and death. And it's very easy to get out in terms of the process. The process is easy. It's to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra regularly with attention, with as much devotion as we can, and associate with and hear about the glories of the Lord, chant the glories of the Lord, associate with devotees who are doing that, take only food that's been offered to the Lord, and learn about one's position in the spiritual world and along with one's situation in the material world through books such as Bhagavad Gita, where the Supreme Lord talks about who he is, who we are, what is this material energy, how it works, how the time element works, and what is the results of activities in the different modes of material nature. All this knowledge is there to inspire us to understand our real position and work towards attaining that real position, free from the encumbrances of the material energy. And so these simple processes, which are readily available and also supported by the institution, we can take seriously. And if we do it in a serious way, because just to do it is not enough, we have to do it in a way that we actually are focusing. Just like when you do something, you have a particular goal in mind. There are people who do things with no goal in mind, but they're like a leaf blown in the wind, as simply moving from situation to situation. But a devotee has a goal, and that goal is to develop one's love for Krishna, to get out of this material world and return to the spiritual world, to have direct association with the Supreme Lord eternally in loving devotional service, which is the constitutional position of the living beings, not foreign to our nature. What we are trying to achieve is what we're with, who we are really are. In this material world, we take on various designations and the various descriptions, but all of these are temporary and they are not they're not our true identities. Just like it says here, the dream state may provide you with a certain experience, but because it's a dream, it's only temporary. So this is a waking dream, and that is a sleeping dream. But still, this is also a dream, because we're something we're actually not. But when we know who we are, then we can focus on that, and we know that I am a spiritual being. I have nothing to do with this world. But therefore, let me use my time, whatever time I have left, to practice Krishna consciousness. Satam prasangam mam materya vandito. Bhavanti ritkarna rasayana katha. And one should hear and chant the glories of the Lord in the association of the devotees, and that will awaken one's attraction for Krishna. As that attraction increases, it becomes an attachment, and as that attachment increases, it turns into affection for Krishna. When that affection develops to a certain degree, it becomes pure love for Krishna. So through the process of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord and rendering service to the Lord in various ways, one can again regain their natural spiritual identity, free from the encumbrances of this material world. People are always trying to solve the problems of the material world by creating various types of programs and plans. But if we get out of the material world, we've solved the problem. So the process of devotional service is the solution to all problems, because it doesn't relegate one to a different position in this material world. It brings one out of the material world. And therefore, all of the problems that we face in this world are also gone when we remove ourselves from the activities of the three modes of the world. Okay, so this is a very interesting verse, and her part, it gives us a little insight on what is the reality of this existence that we are here. It's not false, but it is temporary. Mm-hmm.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much, Maharaj.
Insight class. So we just have to know that we are dreaming, like how we wake up from the dream. We think that everything is temporary. Same way we have to think that this material world is our dream. And we have to come out of that dream to reach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thank you so much, Maharaj, for such a wonderful class. And about the brahmachari who has reincarnated, you said, right? What is the name of that brahmachari, Maharaj?
The name of the girl who was a brahmachari? It's a girl now.
Ah, okay.
She was a brahmachari in her previous life.
Mm-hmm.
Died in a car accident.
Okay.
On Sankirtan, but this brahmachari had developed an attachment for this Indian girl, and when he died, he took birth as an Indian girl. in Krishna consciousness.
Okay.
He writes okay. about it.
Thank you so much, Maharaj.
He writes a whole long article explaining all of her past and her present situation. Let me see if I can remember her name. Ratnavali, her name is Ratnavali. And she's in London. She's a member of the...
Okay, Lalitangmata has written the name Tribhuvanatma Das. Tribhuvanatma Das. Lalitangmata has written the name of the Brahmachari.
Tribhuvanatma Das.
Yeah,
she became Ratnavali.
Yes, he was a Brahmachari in Scotland.
Okay, thank you so much, Maharaj. Very nice class. Thank you so much, Sri Devi Mataji. I'll just check on it. Yeah, Sri Raghavadas it's given, right? And so reincarnation of Sri Raghavadas. Okay. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. So, devotees, any questions? Please go ahead. Shukakar Prabhuji, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Wonderful class. Maharaj, you told that the material life is a dream. But actually, in the material life, when we see dream, when we wake up, sometimes we see that some elephant is coming to, you know, push us. Then we cry and get up. But then there's no elephant at all. But in the material world, we are living. When we are getting hurt, the blood is coming. So it is not dream. It is true. And, you know, somebody loses their hand or somebody loses their eyes. So is it really true or it is only a dream?
It's a dream.
The pain is coming, no. But in the dream, what we suffer, the pain doesn't, we don't feel it. We just thought it's a memory. And but here, we are suffering through the real pain, no. So how it is a dream? I'm not able to ask.
Well, give me a chance and I'll answer it. The answer is...
Sorry, Maharaj.
Even in the dream, you experience things on a physical level too. And you sometimes feel fearful in the dream. And people have died in the dream too because of the fear that they experience in the dream. So in other words, they even lose their physical body because the experience is on the subtle platform with the mind and the intelligence in the dream state. And on the gross platform, the body is included in it. So there is mental pain. There is also bodily pain too. Bodily pain can cause us to, you know, be debilitated, and mental pain also is another form of suffering. In fact, it's even worse. Mental pain. People don't commit suicide out of bodily pain. They commit suicide when they're distressed through the mind. So it's just another form of a dream because we are not the physical body and we are not the subtle mind. We are the soul within it. Prabhupada makes the distinction between these two states. He said one is a short dream and one is a longer dream.
But in the dream, I don't know why we are envying people. But only it's a dream. So why should I hate somebody? Why should I love somebody? It's only a dream.
Yeah.
It is wonderful to understand, but difficult to apply.
Yeah. But we're in the dream state, and we're acting according to our identity that we were accepted.
But it's a good dream that we're hearing your lecture. In the dream also, Chandramani Maharaj is giving a lecture. So it's a self-realized dream.
Anything that does to do with Krishna consciousness is not part of the dream. In Krishna consciousness, even if you dream about Krishna in the dream, that is spiritual. We have a Krishna conscious experience. We can have Krishna conscious experience even in our dream state. And Prabhupada say that is just as good as the experience on the waking level.
So we are seeing your lecture, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha Sarva Siddhi Hoy. So this is not a dream, this is real. Because Krishna has sent you to make us self-realize. So thank you, Maharaj. So it is a reality in the dream. Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, that was really very wonderful. So in a dream, we are in Krishna consciousness. That's really wonderful, Maharaj. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. So anyone
thank
else?
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhupada. Anyone else?
Mr. Maharaj, please go ahead.
Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Goda Chandra Bole, Kota Nidra.
Yeah.
Wake up, sleeping soul, wake up. You're sleeping on the witch of Maya.
But the sleep is very enjoyable, that's why we are sleeping more.
Yeah, people go to sleep because they think they can enjoy by going to sleep.
But it should not be permanent. So that is also there.
Yeah.
But as we mentioned, you have to use this body to get out of the cycle of birth and death. So this body is a gift. The human form of life is a gift to make a solution to this problem of constant dreaming one life after another. So we should be very diligent in using our time to practice Krishna consciousness. Because here's a chance to end all of these illusionary states of existence. And the soul is by nature pure, eternal, full of knowledge, and full of joy. We're trying to experience these same things in a realm that doesn't exist. And therefore we struggle. But there is a reality that is concomitant to our existence as a spiritual being, and that's the spiritual world. As there is a material world, there's a spiritual world.
But in the spiritual world, is there any sleeping or no sleeping required? There's no subtle body, so no sleeping, no appetite also, or
Prabhupada writes.
Spiritual life also?
Yeah, they're sleeping in the material, spiritual world. When they sleep, they're not going into an illusion. They're still within their spiritual identity. And they're sleeping is another form of devotional service. They think about, they dream about Krishna when they're sleeping. Prabhupada writes about it. So everything is there.
Do we have to sleep in the spiritual world? Is there any tiredness or any hunger is there in the spiritual world, or is not there at all? Like here we have got the fatigue.
It appears to be there, but it's not like the sleeping and the tiredness and the anxieties that we experience in the material world. Krishna's performing his pastimes in the spiritual world. Sometimes, as explained, Yoga Maya, Purnamasi, she creates the idea that there are demons in the spiritual world too. There's no demons, but she creates this concept, and Krishna kills the demons in the spiritual world also. And the past go on like that. And Krishna, the cowherd boys run around Krishna and say, "Oh, Krishna, you're so wonderful, you killed that demon."
Thank you so much, Maharaj. That's very nice to hear. So, oh yeah, Sridevi Mataji, please go ahead.
Thank you. Dear Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. My humble obeisances to all the devotees. Guru Maharaj, today morning in Srimad Bhagavatam class, the speaker said that if we use our material opulences to serve Krishna, then eventually we'll go back to Krishna. But if we use our material silences for our own sense gratification, we will go to hell. After the class, one young lady said, I have a tendency to watch movies on Netflix. Will I go to hell? How can we understand this statement that any material opulence, if it's misused, will go to hell?
Well, you can use that analogy of hell in different ways. One is the physical aspect of hell, and one is separating ourself from Krishna in this illusion of enjoyment is another form of hell. It is. When we're not connected with Krishna, we're living in an illusion and we're struggling. And hell means a place where you suffer and you struggle. I call it happiness, but it is. It is simply a diversion away from our pure, natural consciousness. Another form of hell. Just like if you read the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, at the very end, you have the 28 hells. So are they actually, what kind of experience is the soul getting in these hellish conditions? It's the hell of mental distress, mental anxiety. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says these 28 hells are on the subtle platform. They're on the subtle platform. It's like we suffer mentally also. That's another form of suffering. But that's a kind of hell also.
Okay. Thank you so much, Maharaj. Vishwanath Prabhuji. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
Vishwanath Prabhuji, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Dandavat Pranam. Glories to Sri Prabhupada. Good to see you again. Maharaj, I have a question with listening to the class to understand this statement a little bit better in terms of when it's stated in the Gita. I think the verse, said, one who attained my abode, O son of Kunti, never take birth again. So if we go with that verse, how do we understand then going back to Godhead? If we've been there before, how are we going back to Godhead?
You can attain my abode. That means you're returning back to your natural inhabitant. You've lost that attainment, now you're reattaining it. You're attaining it again. It's not for the first time. Our existence is spiritual, and this material is more like a temporary feature. So therefore, we did exist in the spiritual world with Krishna. Make that clear. So when we achieve perfection, then tatva dehom janmani, naitim apteti sort, you go back to Godhead. So you're just going back to where you left. It's like you go on a trip, and you leave your home and you travel for a long time. And then after some time, you return to your home. So we're just returning to where we left. The fact is that we exist, but we cannot exist in this world. It's not possible. We just keep changing our material identity life after life. So we have no identity really in this material world. We just get a new identity each life. But we are eternal. The fact that we want happiness, we want we don't want to die is an indication of our actual existence. Everyone wants happiness, and everyone wants to live forever. These are indications of our actual spiritual nature. So that there is a realm where that there is no death and unlimited happiness, which is concomitant, or which is similar, not similar, the same as our nature. A fish lives in water, you know. So the fish finds its existence in the water. We're trying to find our existence in a place that is contrary to our nature. Therefore, we're always struggling, always in anxiety, always trying to prevent things from happening, always trying to make things happen. We just struggle all the time. Because it's unnatural to be here.
Thank you, Maharaj, for clearing that up.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Prabhupada. Thank you, Maharaj, that wonderful reply. So it's just temporary. We have to struggle and get the love of God and go back. Raj Prabhu, please go ahead.
Thank you. Hare Krishna, Maharaj. If this is all temporary, is it also all temporary for all of those souls who have somehow fallen into an atheistic or totally demoniac tendencies and living a very hellish existence? Is it still temporary for them?
Well, Krishna mentions that in the Bhagavad Gita in the 16th chapter. For those who are envious and atheistic, I cast them into the demoniac species life after life. So it is temporary because this material manifestation is temporary. So, but they'll continue this recycle in birth and death, life after life, until they actually come to Krishna consciousness. So for them, it's also temporary, but it's continuous.
And will they all come back to Krishna?
When this material manifestation ends, then all living entities merge back into the body of Mahavishnu. Atheists, non-atheists, everybody goes back in the... Anyone who's living in the material existence re-enters the body of Mahavishnu, stays there for the interim period, which is billions of years, and then again, manifests their existence of doing the next creation according to the cosmic clock and come back out again. So yeah, they can continue the cycle in life after life after life.
See, Maharaj. And they'd be saved.
There's a chance. Anyone can be saved if they somehow or other come in contact with a devotee of the Lord and recognize the benefit of coming in contact with Krishna's representative. Then they can gradually extricate themselves from this cycle of birth and death. You can't go back to the spiritual world with the material desires. It's not possible. This is the place for having desires contrary to Krishna. This is the material world. It's like a jail. Those who don't follow the laws of the state, break the laws, they get punished and they're put in jail. So as long as they continue to work against the laws of God, they will continue through the cycle of this birth and cycle of birth and death. I can't remember the verse. It's in the 16th chapter. I think it's, can't remember which. These Lord says, I cast the demoniac species in different cast these living entities and demoniac species life after life after life. It's like 16th chapter, something like verse 21, 20, somewhere around there, if I can't remember. You can read it.
So sad, Maharaj. Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhupada.
But anyone can be saved. They could, if somehow or other they come in contact with a devotee of the Lord.
Thank you, Maharaj. Scarlet Blom.
Yeah, Tadaham Drisayan Pulam. That's the verse. Yeah. Bring it back up. That's a nice verse. Some say Narada Manshipya Sam Asubam Astura Eva Yonishu. Those who are envious and mischievous were the lowest among, I perpetually cast into the ocean of material existence into various demonic species of life.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you, Prabhuji. Scarlet Blom, Prabhuji or Mataji, please go on.
Hare Krishna, and thank you for a wonderful class. May I ask, what would you give for advice to a person who has suffered all his life and being having very, very bad life and tortured and so on, and try to just survive its life? But then this person get to learn that this is a jail, and he gets to hear that the warden is your father and see everything what you're going through, see that you're tortured and so on and so on. But then when you get free, you get to love your father, even though that your father saw that you was tortured, you was beaten to death, did nothing, just stand there and look and did nothing. But now you should respect your father, you should love your father. But this person says, okay, I will respect my father, of course. I'm going to follow all the rule and regulation. I will do it with all respect. But how can I start love him also? I can respect, I can follow everything that he's telling me, all the order that he give me. I will do it respectfully and law abided. But how can I love this person? I don't know what love is, because I didn't learn what love is.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you give for advice to this person? How can this person get to have love in himself?
It may be practically impossible because they never experienced love. Those who live that life also become like that. They want, those who are tortured also become torturers of others after some time. So they don't even, they only understand that one experience that they have in life. Unless they get somehow some mercy from a pure devotee or someone who is a representative of Krishna in some way, they will continue. So it's their good fortune that they can recognize that there's something better than where they are at and what they're experiencing. But people are conditioned by their desires and by their experiences. And then the reactions to their experiences just condition them in the same way. It's very difficult to teach someone how to love in that. All you can do is pray for them and just hope that they come in contact with someone who's their well-wisher, and if they have to be able to recognize them. There are many people who came in contact with Srila Prabhupada, but they couldn't recognize his position or who he actually was. So therefore, they weren't able to take advantage. When Krishna was here, it says that millions of people associated with Krishna and saw Krishna, but only between 100 and 200 actually knew he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it can only be awakened by one's good fortune somehow. To help a person like that is to give them some service to do and let them do some service. By that service, they can develop some sukriti, some good fortune. And by that good fortune, they may come in contact with a spiritual master. But otherwise, you know, it's they're subjected to their experiences. And the impressions that those experiences leave. We see it when people grow up in an abusive childhood. As they grow up, they become abusers later on in life. Abuse become the abusers. And those who know psychology and have experience, they know. Those who grow up in a loving way, they tend to be loving towards others.
This person that I know, he have never hurt anyone or do anything bad to anyone. He's very, very, very kind person. Very kind person. Try to be kind person, that I can say. He have never hurt anyone. No one can say anything bad about him. So he has tried to be good. But when I tell him about that you have to love your father still, he says, I respect him, but what is love? I respect him, I follow the order he gave me, I take care of it, but what is love? I don't know what love is.
Love means to serve someone for the benefit of them. That's love.
I'm sorry, with the benefit, I didn't hear.
Love is not something, just a feeling or an emotion. Love means to do something for someone that will benefit that person, that will make that person happy. That's love. That's an indication of love. When that same mood continues and increases, then it becomes actual, an emotional experience. If you want to love someone and you don't have love for that person, serve them, that's all.
Thank you.
By that service. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mataji, for that wonderful question. Thank you so much, Maharaj, for that definition of love. So love is nothing. And expect anything return from them. So that's how the love works. So thank you so much, Maharaj. Shubhakar Prabhuji, do you have any more questions?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Maharaj, now you were telling that Mataji's question, she was asking that his father has already given trouble to that boy and he has not got any love. So from the scriptures, we know that in the last life, if you torture the father, that's why the father is coming and torturing me now. From the scripture, what we hear is that every action has got equal and opposite reaction. That is one thing which came in my mind. Now, about that, you said sometime in the spiritual world, the animals may come to you. That sometime the demons will come. So, from that Aghasur, what we see is, when the Gopas were going inside Aghasur mouth, they knew that it's a snake. And one boy said, I will not come. Then they said that, see, Krishna will save us. No, he saved us from Putana. He saved us from Bakasur, he saved us from all the demons. So there's no anxiety in the spiritual realm, no, Maharaj. Even if any demon comes or anything, Krishna is always with us and we are remembering Krishna always. Like Prahlada, that consciousness is 24/7 only remembering Krishna. And when you remember Krishna, nothing can touch us. Is it that way that there will be no fear, there will be no anxiety? They will just keep playing. Then the men come.
Yeah. That's what happened. Yeah. And boys were standing there. And one boy was saying, oh, look, it's a cave. Another boy said, no, it's a demon. Oh, really? All right, let's go inside and play. But demon, that's okay because Krishna will save us. Don't worry. So they went. So you don't have to worry. As long as you do your service, Krishna will save you.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you so much.
So whatever comes and goes, we have to have that complete faith on Krishna. But to get that faith in this conditioned life is really very difficult for a conditioned fallen soul like me. So we have to bless us all, Maharaj, to get that faith on Krishna and to chant profusely for returning back to him. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Maharaj. So I don't see any more questions or comments on the chat box. So thank you so much, Maharaj, for that very wonderful explanation about this material world, saying that it is a dream. And in this dream, we are hearing Krishna Katha every time. So that will help us to remember Krishna and keep. Thank you so much, Maharaj, and for giving your valuable time and association. And we request you to come on this forum frequently to give us such a nice Krishna Katha. And that was really a very wonderful Krishna session also. I thoroughly enjoyed. Thank you so much. So all devotees, let's pay our obeisances to Maharaj. Vancha kalpa tri Krishna
Jai 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 Jai